Ah, welcome to my inn, the Carriage Rest Inn, a place where the bard has tales that spin. As our weary travelers struggle to find their role in this world divided with souls that are full. Trust, confusion, loyalty are a greater foe than any arrow sprung from a bow. Who is dark, who is light, a constant battle over who is right. Listen as we begin here at the Carriage Rest Inn.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Carriage Rest Tales. I'm your host and Dungeon Master, Mike, and our room is a little bit different setup, so to my left we have...
Hey guys, it's Sam, and I am playing Woods, the Paladin Ranger.
Hey, this is Nick. I am playing Vato, the Half-Orc Barbarian.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Ryan. I'll be playing Gnomus slash Vimus slash Vive... Let me redo that. Hey, everyone, it's Ryan. I'll be playing Gnomus slash Vimus. Damn it, I did it again.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so rusty.
It's season four. They know who you are. It's Ryan.
Hey, everyone, it's Ryan. I'll be playing everyone's favorite tabaxi bard rogue. That's all you get.
We're in a bit of a different space today. We're in the living room. We're trying to work a couple things out, seeing if we can control some mic bleed. So we are very far from each other.
My feng shui is so off right now.
You had the hardest time feng shuiing. It took Ryan 20 minutes to find the right chair.
Look, I'm 6'2". The mic is weird. I do this for you
so
all.
So uncomfortable. You literally look so uncomfortable.
To be fair, I probably look uncomfortable most of the time.
It's true. Meanwhile, I'm like on the couch. Cross-legged.
Nick looks like he's in elementary school.
Nick does look like... I should post some photos on social. Maybe I'll do that today.
We haven't Mike done that has in a minute. Three desks.
Mike, yeah.
I'm trying to control
it. I have a computer chair and, and a side table. It's fine.
It's fine.
But in the world of Ivana, your guys' characters are currently hiding to set an ambush for two golden figures that are on patrol. So we're just going to jump right into the golden figures enter into the room. I'm going to have a roll of perception check to see if they notice you guys. I don't remember if we did sneaks, but I'll just do an average. Perception check for my first one. A 9, so they did not notice you. And my perception check for the second character. A 2, so they also don't notice you. So walking through the room, you would see the same kind of duo you've seen a couple times on patrol. There's one in robes and like a staff, and the other one is in armor and a sword and shield. They have not spotted you, so they're just walking across the room.
We're in the large room overlooking the...
You are in the room that had the large pane glass windows that looked over Black Bay Harbor. And then on the other side was a large pane glass that looked into the central cavern where it was like a pit of lava with the large amount of golden shards swirling and floating around in it.
So again, we're not in the altar room.
We're not in the altar room.
We went into, just to recap, we went into the cave entrance, came to the altar room, made a left. There were four shabby wooden doors. We got attacked there, went down a long hallway, and that's where the lava room glass window is. And Correct. They came down that other hallway towards
came,
us.
Yep, okay. North in the case Perfect. Of our method that we were drawing.
Got it. I'm going to look at you, both of you, and give you a signal of attack.
Attack? Yeah.
Or I'm gonna let them go.
Listen, I'm just going to knock a bow and attack the one with armor.
Okay, so we get a surprise round in. You guys did plan it out, so you all get one attack, and then we'll roll initiative. You're attacking the one with armor, you said, Sam?
Correct.
Or Woods?
24 to hit.
Hits.
Man, I haven't rolled dice in a while.
For the listeners, that's really confusing because you rolled dice last game.
I know, but it's been like 6 weeks since we played. So I have 8... damage That's what happens when you roll a one. You only get 8 damage, Sam. All right, and then I'm going to
roll. Out of context, that makes no sense.
I know. Okay. I'm going to roll for my second attack, and I got a 17.
Hits.
Fantastic. And we're going to do 14 damage.
I was going to sneak attack the wizard,
okay.
The robed figure. Which, as an assassin, I have an advantage on the target that hasn't taken a turn in combat, and any hit on surprise target is critical. 16 plus stuff. Probably more than one if...
You're hitting the clothed one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely hits then.
So it's a critical hit, so I do max damage. Correct?
Correct. Max damage, and then you roll, and that includes your sneak attack.
So rapier would be 12 damage... Sneak attack is another, I think it's 2d6. It is, so 24 right off the gate. And I'm going to roll regular damage now. So another 6, and then another sneak attack damage. So we're at 30, plus another 3, 4. Another 4 total.
4 total.
And that roll. 34 damage.
You know, a big hit on that mage, because they're not known for having a lot of health. Still up, but it definitely, you see a lot of the golden shards flake off of it. And that brings us up to Chad.
Not Chad.
Chad.
Wow, that's
a throwback. Wow, Chad the Barbarian.
That brings us up to Vaso.
Okay, so Vaso, he saw him coming, so he was getting ready. So he immediately is going to go into rage. And he's going to go attack the one with the armor. 11.
Misses the first one.
Okay. Going to attack again. Crit fail.
Crit fail. All right.
Man.
Well, we got to roll that D100 and see what happens.
If you lose another limb, I'm just telling you.
Well, there's no more dragons to lose. Oh, too soon.
That is too soon.
They didn't die.
Oh, but they took a piece of my soul with them.
17.
17.
That's what you wanted.
All right, will you go ahead and roll a d4 for me?
3.
Okay. As you go to hit the gladiator, your first hit bounces off of his sword. Hands getting a little bit sweaty. You go to swing again, and it just shoots out of your hand and just crashes into the pane window. It just shatters the pane window. The bow staff goes just falling towards Black Bay Harbor.
Okay.
That's like the super important thing that we need, right?
One of them.
And then with that large crashing sound, you hear some footsteps coming from that same northern tunnel, that northern hallway.
Where the first two came from.
Where the first two came from.
All right, boys. This is going to get interesting really quickly. Okay, I hear footsteps. All right, I'm going to cast Lightning Arrow, and I'm going to do it at it's third level. All right, so next time my ranged weapon attack hits during the spell's duration, it's going to also transform into a lightning bolt, making the attack roll normal. So it makes the attack roll as normal and then does another 4d8 lightning on a hit and half as much on a miss. So let's see if I hit. 19.
Your spell, the lightning shoots out of your hand, but as you're casting it, the mage creature raises his hands, says some magical words, and your lightning dissipates into the room.
Oh, that's a counter spell. That's annoying. So, okay. Well, then I'm very upset about this, and I'm just going to knock another arrow, and no lightning, no tricks. I'm just going to hit him again.
He already used a spell, so you can't shoot an arrow also.
No, my spell is for my arrow, my ranged weapon attack.
Oh. So you get to shoot your arrow and then you're adding lightning to it? He'll cancel out the magic part of it, but he won't be able to cancel out the physical part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so he gets the actual arrow?
Yes.
11 damage.
Okay.
And then I'm going to knock another arrow and do it again. 28.
Okay, go ahead and roll damage.
And that's going to be 9. Now I could do Kaelis Slayer, which is another 2.
I mean, that's enough. Your first arrow just shoots through his right shoulder. You just see this hole appear and the flakes start to happen. And then you shoot him with the right shoulder and another hole appears. And then he just dissolves into light shards on the floor.
Okay, one down. But I have a feeling more are coming.
All right. Gladiator is going to probably attack Woods since Vaso didn't do any damage to it. So Gladiator is going to close on Woods and attack Woods twice. First one is going to come in with the shield, trying to bash you. Does a 9 hit?
It does not.
Okay. And then he's going to just try to hit you with his sword. Does a 15 hit?
It does not.
All right. So you nimbly dodge out of the way of both of his attacks.
Nimbly. And
that brings us up to whoever's next in the order.
Gnomus is going to flank the gladiator and attack him from behind.
All right.
Is that technically...
You get flanking, so you get +2.
I also get sneak attack. I have advantage.
You get sneak attack because
an enemy of the target is within 5 feet.
Correct. So it doesn't give you advantage.
So I get a +2 to hit, though.
Correct.
Yeehaw.
Not the yeehaw.
What's your roll?
Something that would make me roll percentile dice.
Crit fail? Okay.
What is happening?
My feng shui is off.
The character hasn't moved. Did you just ban a dice?
I did. 54.
We've been playing for 4 minutes and we've had 2 crit fails.
All right, make a dexterity saving throw.
13.
You go to sneak up behind this gladiator and spook him a little bit.
Boo.
You spook him, so he turns to see what's behind him and just absolutely clocks you with his shield. So you're going to take 1d6 of damage.
Oh, am I rolling? Am I rolling that?
Yeah, I don't have dice in front of me. Sorry.
6.
Okay, you take 6 bludgeoning damage, but that hit was powerful enough that it knocks you into what would have been the pane glass window.
Am I falling?
But... Unfortunately, the pane glass isn't there anymore, so you get tripped up on your legs on the little windowsill, and you fall out the window. Go ahead and roll, let's do 1d8, or sorry, it's a d6 for fall damage, so 1d6.
1.
All right, you take 1 damage as you fall on a ledge about 10 feet below the window.
Okay.
So you didn't fall to your death on the cliff face, but you are outside on a ledge looking up at a 10 feet up. To get to the window again. And where does that bring us into the initiative order?
Vaso.
Okay. So I am going to use this.
A bead? Okay, I love it.
And so Vaso, whenever he used that bow staff, he got this connection with it, you know?
Okay.
It's like he can feel it. And when he flung it out the window, he could still feel it. So he reaches his hand out and he tries to summon it back to him. And that bow staff comes back to him.
All right, I love it. I'm going to add one thing to it, though. Gnomus, go ahead and roll the dexterity saving throw.
Oh, hit him in the head. I don't even care. Hit him in the head.
I thought I would be able to grab onto it and come back.
Oh.
That's what I'm actually going with. So I like running on the same track.
I like my own teammates, like, give him damage. I was gonna, I don't care.
Go for it.
19.
Yep. So you are looking up at the window, trying to figure out how to get up there, and then you see, you hear just this clattering as you look down, and this bow staff's just bouncing on the wall as it's moving in an upward direction. So it goes by, and you just grab onto it. And then as this bow staff appears, Gnomus just does this cool let's go midair and like tucks and rolls back into the room. And then Vaso, you are now holding your bow staff, catching in your.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's your, what hand you have still? Your left hand.
His hand. Just his, yeah, you just don't have to hand. Call it out when it's just his hand.
In his hand.
When he has one.
What have been cooler is if he held it overhead and I'm still standing on it. I'll take my graceful, you know,
graceful tumble. Tumbled into. Yep. Love it. Okay, so you have your bow staff back.
Okay. How many beads do I have?
You guys, hold on. I have a list somewhere.
For the players, because they probably forgot if we ever mentioned it. At every campaign I play, I always give my players 3 beads to play with.
Like Mancala beads.
Mancala beads that they can implement either, it's basically like a boon for them. They can know an NPC. They can add some abilities to some of their weapons like Vasa just did. Basically, it's a selling item that they have to really change the world. Just they can't break the world like Vasa tried to do way back in season 1.
That is so exciting. So
breaker of worlds.
I have used 2 beads.
I just used 2.
Yeah.
I still got 1
How many
more.
Have you used?
I have no idea. I don't know where my beads are. I feel like I used one.
Used
with,
them all, I guess.
I used one with Lance.
You did use one.
You did use the one with Lance. I remember
you did.
That.
So I've used one.
Didn't you I didn't use know we one could in the mer people yeah. underwater?
That's yeah. what I meant.
That was oh, Lance that's Lance.
Why did I just put that together? That it was Lance Bass because he was a fish. Also, why have we had 2 NSYNC references?
There's no limit to NSYNC references.
I literally just thought you picked Lance because it was like an old timey, like Sir Lancelot.
I would like to take this opportunity to resign from my semi-professional D&D career.
All right. Oh my god, that's so good, Lance Bass.
Circling
considering
back.
That was like 2 seasons ago. Holy smokes.
Circling back, though, to Vaso holding his bow staff in his hand.
Okay, so now that he has his bow staff back, he is going to attack and hopefully hit this time.
Sounds good. Only one enemy in the room right now.
Yeah.
Didn't I have advantage technically because he was enraged?
Yep.
Well, you got to remember that. I can't.
I don't remember these things. He doesn't have his pyramid. It's all right. I remember now.
There we go.
After I'll
put it up here.
Fell out of a window.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
It makes the scene more badass.
Language cap.
Okay. 26.
That hits this time.
11 damage. 12.
12 misses.
Dang.
You know, what works well, works well. So I'm just going to knock another arrow and take out the last guy standing. 28.
Hits.
And 12 damage. Next arrow. Ooh, it was only a 16.
Now, don't you have advantage too? Because... still within 5 feet.
Oh. Well, right? I don't need it.
I mean, roll a
six. I guess they might have a 20. I didn't get a 20.
Okay. Yeah, both of them hit, though.
Okay. So add another 13 damage and then another 7 for Callous Lair.
Yep. I think he's just going to continue to attack Vasa so he doesn't have to move. So he's going to swing away with the shield. A 10 to hit.
Misses.
And with his sword, a 22 to hit.
22 hits.
11 piercing damage. I guess it'd be slashing, but whatever. Then...
and you take half.
Let's
like
see.
We've never played D&D before.
No, we're like...
no miss. You're going to have one come in to attack you as 3 of the gladiator types charge into the room and start attacking people. So let's call the one that's attacking Nomis. He's got a fun hat on just to isolate them a little bit differently.
Fun hat.
Yeah, he's got a fun hat. He's going to come and try to shield bash you for 18.
Yes, that hits.
All right, take 11 bludgeoning damage and make a strength save.
7.
All right, you get pushed to the floor, and then he's going to try to stab you with his sword with advantage. I'm assuming a 25 hits you, so you take 12 piercing damage. And then the other two are just going to charge Vaso. Shield bash, 16.
meat.
Okay, so Ty's going to attack you. You take 10 bludgeoning damage and then make a strength saving throw.
19.
All right, you are able to stay on your feet. So he doesn't get advantage on a sword attack. A 10, I think, misses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last guy is going to come running in, and he's going to trip and fall and roll into the sidewall and kind of knock himself a little bit stunned. So he's going to be out of combat for a little while because he got a crit fail. He's not dead. I'm just going to take him out of combat. And that is them. So you guys are now fighting three enemies with one unconscious.
So I have Fun Hat still on me.
You do.
I'm going to cast Dissonant Whispers as a second level.
Okay.
So he needs to make a wisdom saving throw.
12.
Okay. He fails.
Yep.
So he's going to take... I whisper a discordant melody that he can hear. He failed. On a failed save, it takes, for him, 4d6 psychic damage and must immediately use its reaction, if available, to move as far away as its speed allows for me. So he can't, like, move into harm or anything, but...
Okay, so he can't purposely hurt himself, but he's going to try to run away from you?
Yep, but he takes 4d6.
Good luck.
2. 7. 12. 13.
All right, so he takes 13 damage, and he's going to, I guess, I think we just flee back up that northern path. As no enemies would be in the way, and he could get away from you. So that's what he's going to do.
And then I'm going to use my bonus action to hide.
Where are you going to hide?
Under the desk.
Was there a desk in the room?
I think there was a couch in the room.
I'm going to hide behind the couch.
Okay, sounds good. You could tell that it was a like an observation area where you can observe Black Bay Harbor, or you can observe the Golden Shard. So there would be furniture, like sitting furniture, stuff like that in the room.
Okay. I got a 20 on my stealth.
Okay, sounds good. I'm just going to roll one collective wisdom save for these guys, but I don't think they're going to beat that. 7. You do not.
How tall are the ceilings?
That's a good question. Let's say this is a grand, like, temple monolith. So let's say 20 feet.
Okay.
It's pretty tall ceilings, but not obnoxious.
All right. So Vasa is going to use his flying crown.
Okay.
And he's going to shoot up. Basically do a flip over the guy that I've been attacking.
Yep.
And then as he comes down, he's going to swing at.
I like it. So,
Nick came to play D&D tonight.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a flanking with yourself for that, because that's pretty cool. So you get a +2 to your hit.
+2. 14.
Missed. Yeah, 14 misses.
Okay. He's gonna land. He's gonna swing again.
Okay.
19.
19 hits. And you said, are you going for the injured one or the healthy one?
Yeah, the injured one.
Okay, sounds good.
14 damage. 11 damage.
All right, so I got one guy unconscious on the floor.
One guy unconscious on the floor, and then there's three other combatants. Two are on Vaso, and the other one is currently running away.
Okay, I'm going to take one that's on Vaso, and I'm going to shoot at it. 30.
It's
30.
10 damage. Oh, 15?
15 misses.
No!
Is that a 10, though?
It was a 2.
Okay. Gotta check Sam. She never seems to roll that ones.
Dang it.
Check her dice.
She must have given me the faulty ones.
I guess I could add my callous layer to the first shot.
Yep.
Add another 5. Man.
I assumed you were targeting the injured one also.
Yeah, I was going for the injured one.
Injured one is pretty bloody, so it is going to attack with disadvantage at this point. So it's going to... do the same shield sword. A 12 is going to miss Vaso, and then a 11 is probably going to miss Vaso also.
Yep.
The other guy is not disadvantaged, so he's just going to attack normal. A 24 is going to hit you.
Yep.
12 bludgeoning damage and make a strength saving throw.
90-20.
Nice. Okay.
You are able to slough off that blow, and I'm going to make him miss his sword attack as he thrusts in with his sword. For the guy that ran up, is it just one turn that he runs away for?
It just says he has to use his reaction to move as far away as the speed allows.
Okay, so he'd be back then. All right, so he's going to come back. He doesn't know where his original target is hiding, so he's just going to attack the one that is. He sees his buddies mauling around. 11's going to miss, though, and then his short sword, a 26, is going to hit, though. So you take 10 piercing damage as the third guy comes in, flanking around Vaso. So he's currently being surrounded by three enemies. And that brings us up to Gnomus.
So how does, if I wanted to cast Dissonant Whispers again at a first level at one of these guys on, I don't get, like, advantage, like, there's no, like,
I think the advantage is only for melee attack, or I don't think it's for spell attacks.
If I wanted to use my hand crossbow, I would get...
You'd get advantage, yeah.
And a sneak attack.
And you'd get sneak attack, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to pull out my hand crossbow. Pop up from behind the couch. Pew!
Pew, pew. 23?
23
hits.
Okay. So...
Are you targeting the injured one or a fresh one?
I'll do the injured one.
Okay.
Would you say they're surprised?
No, they're not surprised.
Okay. I mean, he was hiding an arrow out of nowhere.
But they're in the middle of combat. All right. But you still get sneak attack.
Okay. So this is my...
He's just looking for that critical.
This is my roll for the crossbow. 8.
Okay.
And then my sneak attack. 5. 3. So 16.
Your sneak attack saves you. So you're able to really place your shot. And you're able to sneak it in and down one of the characters. So now there's only two left that are next to Vaso.
And then I'm hiding behind the couch again.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm a-staring it for... A-starian.
Yeah, a-starian for the Baldur's Gate 3 fans. Vaso, you're up.
Nick just did the best little, like, pick finger, like... jazz hand to pick up his dice.
All right, so he's going to use his crown thing again.
Yep.
And basically he's going to kind of like go forward, but like to the side, but like swing at one of the guys like as he's going by him.
All right, so you're trying to do like I'm picturing like the video games when you have your character walking sideways instead of forward or back.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that's called right now, though.
Strafing.
Strafing. All right. So go ahead and roll a plus 2 on that. I like this moving around the battlefield.
21.
21 hits.
13.
Okay.
And then you're going to do it again. 21 again.
Sounds good. Say 13 damage again.
15 damage.
Ooh. You're getting better at it.
It is my turn. You know what? If it works, do it. I'm going to take the one that I have perceived that has damage that is still attacking my buddy. 21 for 12 damage, 7 for Callous Slayer, 31.
That's ridiculous.
And 10 more. I want to move around and go down the where these people came from.
You want to go down that hallway?
I want to go down that hallway just in case I want to see if more people are going to be coming.
Yep, I like it.
So I'm just going to do that. I'm going to move there.
All right. Vaso, a 19. Does that hit you?
Yep.
8 bludgeoning damage and make a strength saving throw.
8.
Oh, good. I had a crit fail on my one roll, but I get advantage if you fail it. So you get knocked prone, and then he stabs you with his sword for 22, I assume, hits you for 11 piercing damage. Now that you're on the floor, though, the other guy's just going to attack you twice with his short sword. A 21 and a 24, I assume, both hit you?
Yep.
So 21 piercing damage total.
You get half of all this stuff, right?
Yeah. Okay, good. I've been doing that, yeah.
Woods, as you were running across the floor, I need you to tell me if a 25 hits you.
It does.
All right, you're going to get knocked out of a, like, on the side, kind of broadsided because you guys had forgot that there was an enemy that was kind of stunned over in the corner.
Okay.
He shield bashes you for 11 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Go ahead and make a strength saving throw.
Oh, I gotta do my tallies.
7.
All right. So then he's going to stab you with his sword. I assume a 27 hits you.
It sure does.
Okay. 20 piercing damage because that was a critical.
Golly. I went to, from perfectly healthy to not okay.
Yeah, they're really strong. And I was I attacked you because nobody was like checking on this guy.
Sure, it's fine.
You kind of forgot about him.
Well, since we're in the spirit of using beads, this is the first time I've used this hand crossbow that Corgon gave me. And I noticed it's got a second chamber that pops up. So I can load two crossbow bolts at the same time and fire once.
All right, so you can do two damage with one shot. I like it, so you can double up your damage for the crossbows. And I'll collect the beads from you later.
So it's basically a 2d6.
I love it.
Yep, plus your dex.
Okay, so I'm popping up behind the couch. Pew! The guy that's behind.
Two of them are behind Vaso.
Yep.
They're magic arrows, and they have targeting, and they both hit each other.
They're light-seeking arrows. Yes. The second chamber. It's like Zelda's silver bow.
No? Magic arrows.
Okay. 18 plus 7.
Hits.
And this is a new target, right?
It is a new target for you, but both of them have been hit at least once.
Okay. So I need another D6. So this is for the crossbow.
Okay.
2 plus 6 is 8.
8, okay.
Plus another 6 for my dexterity is 14.
Nice hit.
And I get sneak attack. Number 4, 5.
5 total?
Yep. 21.
It's a good hit.
I feel like I can't do a lot right now because my hit points are also kind of low. And I can't cast any spells right now. I'm going to continue just to hide.
I'm not having you roll it because they're really focused on trying to murder Vaslo at the moment. But I like that you're doing the hiding. And if they were to stop and look around, I think
I'm roguish.
Call it. Yeah. Vaslo currently getting annihilated by two of these golden shards. You're on your back.
So he is going to fly again. He's going to go straight up.
Okay.
And he's going to hit one of them on the way up.
Like it.
You hear woods from the other side of the room. Stay up there.
It's, you said 20 feet?
20 feet ceilings, yep. 20 foot ceilings.
26.
26 hits?
16 damage.
Man, you guys are hitting hard now.
And then he's going to stay up there.
I like it. Talking's a free action.
Yeah, and then he's going to take his bow staff and he's going to throw it.
I like it. Because he can recall it.
Yeah. 22.
Hits.
14 damage.
Guy's getting pretty bloodied. Still up, but not doing great.
All right. I'm going in for the kill. The one that looks the weakest.
How are you attacking?
With my bow.
Okay. You're in melee, so you'd be at disadvantage.
Why am I in melee?
Because you just got shield bashed by somebody and he stabbed you.
Oh, yes.
Because you said you went from, like, perfect health.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. In the middle, game mechanics question. In the middle of me running with my bow, can I dock my bow and pull out my sickles? How does this work?
Yeah, there is mechanics in D&D for like switching weapons. I always figured if you're, by the time you're adventuring, you can.
We're fast enough to do this.
Fast enough to switch weapons in combat.
Okay.
I don't want to have to track like, it takes a bonus action to switch or whatnot. So I don't know what the actual rules are, but.
We're in melee, right?
Correct. You're in melee.
I'm just going to reach down and inflict wounds.
Sounds good.
How's that sound? So I'm going to do it at... All right, I'm going to do this at a level 3 inflict wounds.
Okay.
Wait, is that the guy I sent running down the hall?
No, this is...
Yes, he has been hit. No.
Yeah,
no,
I
no,
did.
No. That was a... Yes, that was the guy that ran.
So he's been wounded.
No, this is the guy that never got into battle.
Yeah,
this is the guy was...
Yeah. No, he's
he had
good.
A key crit failed when he walked
this
in.
This isn't Fun Hat?
This isn't
no,
fun
this
hat,
is
no.
The guy that fell over when he walked in.
Got stunned.
So make a melee spell attack. 19.
All right, hits.
He's going to take 4d10 necrotic damage. 7, 15, 19, 26.
All right, and then double that.
Oh, 52.
52? Yep.
Why do we double?
Because you're dealing necrotic damage to a radiant light creature.
Nice.
So you attack him, but you notice that it does a lot more damage than you were expecting.
I reach down and I'm annoyed, to be honest with you, because Woods is a bit arrogant and generally doesn't take any damage in battle. And she took 31 hit points, like more than half of her damage with this one guy. So I like reach down and just feel like I'm harnessing the deepest levels of Lucha, like the bad stuff. And I'm so impressed when it comes out of my hand and I feel so, so good. I'm going to walk away from him. I don't want to be in melee anymore.
You'll get an attack of opportunity.
Oh, screw it. I'll stay there.
Okay. Vasa, we're going to do yours first. I'm going to give the...
Wait, I'm so sorry. Can I attack twice?
I believe you can attack twice as a ranger.
Yeah, I can attack twice as a ranger. So I used a spell attack. So I can
I'll let you use another melee.
Yeah, so I could just like take out my sickle and like whack him.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. Okay. So I'm just going to pull out one. 17.
17 hits.
6 damage.
Okay. Roll a d6.
5.
All right. So the one that you happened to grab was your dark sickle. So it is the one that's connected to Lucha's half. So you deal 12 damage.
Yes. I need to write that down.
All right. Now we're back up to Vaso. This guy's got disadvantage on his attacks. 18. That's a disadvantage. That's a good roll.
That hits.
All right. 9 bludgeoning damage. Well, you're on the ceiling now. Hold on. I'm going to be able to hit you with this shield. So take that back. They're just going to swing with their short swords with disadvantage. 10.
How tall are they?
I think with the short sword, they're going to... I'll have them throw their short swords. First one's a 10.
That misses.
All right. And then it clatters to the ground, and he goes and picks it up. And the other one throws his short sword for 18.
That hits.
Okay. 16 piercing damage. And then he goes and picks it up. So you did prevent them from multi-attacking, I guess, by flying up in the sky. All right, Woods. Shield Bash coming in. 16.
Meets.
All right, 10 bludgeoning damage and make your strength saving throw.
8.
That's so unfortunate. Does a 24 hit
you? Do I get any kind of advantage or anything?
It would be on your saves, which I don't think rangers have strength as one of their saves. Paladins might, though.
Yeah, I'm proficient in that.
So you get to add your proficiency then.
Oh, no. He's already added to the number I gave you. Yeah.
24 hit you?
Yes.
So 10 piercing damage. That was another one where the...
Guys.
On disadvantage was a crit fail. You guys are killing me with...
I am
very bloodied?
Barely standing.
That brings us up to Gnomus.
So, painting the scene.
Yes.
Basso's on the ceiling.
Basso's flying around on the ceiling, swinging down with his bow staff.
Oh, just kidding. Wait, I'm so sorry. I have here, it looks like, some temporary hit points from something.
You guys did do something with temporary hit points at the start of this dungeon crawl. I remember that.
Okay. Then I'm not as bad as I thought I was.
Okay. But definitely.
Still not great.
Basso's on the ceiling.
Yep.
Woods is knocked prone.
Prone, and she just got stabbed with the sword.
Where are the three gladiators in relation to the broken window?
I'd say the two that are by Vaso would probably be close to the broken window.
How close to the broken window?
Roll a d20. Let's find out. They're within 20 feet. I know that. So let's roll a d20 to see if they're how many feet they are.
18.
18 feet from the window.
The one time I roll high.
Golly.
I assume you want to do like a thunder wave or something.
Yeah, I was trying to push him out the window.
I was trying not to be biased. That's why I let a dice roll happen.
I'm going to look up and just be like, hit him with the necrotic.
I don't have necrotic.
Hurt some more. Send him the evil stuff. Isn't Cormet evil? Don't you have anything from the God of Chaos?
That was Kincaid.
That was Kincaid. I don't think Woods would be saying that in her blood loss.
Yeah, just like, who are you?
All right. I mean, I can't stand toe-to-toe with these guys.
Neither can Woods.
We're going to have
to... Vaso.
You've been putting that... You're getting hit a lot. You're doing awesome. I don't know your health
how,
is at.
How are they looking? Like, is there one that's more...
One...
Battered than the other?
Vasa's got two in him. One's almost dead. One looks fairly fresh. One on Woods is bloodied.
So one on Vasa's near death.
Correct.
I'm going to target that one. 21.
Hits.
Okay. 3 plus 6 is 9. Plus another 6 is 15.
All right. That's enough to kill him.
So that's not with my sneak attack.
Not with your sneak attack. You killed that one.
I'm going to run 30 feet towards the opposite end of the room. So I'm like, I picture I'm like catty-cornered to where the fight is.
Okay.
And I want to bust out my flute and just play it.
All right.
Just to distract them. See if they turn around.
No sort of spells or anything, but just to try to
I don't think I can cast a spell with it.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm just trying to make myself known to draw attention away from you.
Go ahead and roll a performance.
Natty 20.
All right. Sounds good. Vasa, what are you up to? You now only have one enemy remaining below you.
Okay.
They weren't drawn to me with my stellar flute performance?
It's not their turn. I will say you'll have advantage on them because they are distracted.
All right.
Okay. So I'm actually going to move towards the window. Like, as he's coming, I'm going to throw my bow staff at him.
Okay.
Sounds good. Hit him again. 19.
Okay, 19 hits.
16 damage. Is there, like, anything else in the room? Like, are there any statues or...
I would say the Harbinger of Creation is arrogant enough to have busts of himself around the around the room.
Okay. Does the statue have, like, will I be able to, like, knock it over?
Yeah, he can knock over a statue.
Okay. So he's going to hide behind one and ready in action for when it comes, when the golden gladiator gets close enough, I'll just push it on him.
Okay, I like it. Sounds good. Woods, as you're getting stabbed by this creature, you start hearing some lovely music from a very enthusiastic bard, and you also notice that the figure that's attacking you also looks over, so he's currently not focused on you.
I'm going to reach down and cast a level 2 inflict wounds. And, like, I'm going to say a little prayer to Lucha. I'm going to hold my dark sickle. And I'm going to, like, kind of, like, punch him with my dark, like, hit him with my dark sickle at the same time that I cast Inflict Wounds.
Okay. Well, let's do the, we're going to do them as separate attacks.
Okay.
But you do have advantage because it's not focused on you. But he's
Nat 20. Oh, let's see if I get 2 nat 20s. I didn't.
Okay.
Nat 20, that was the inflict wounds.
Yep. You need a double damage with the inflict wounds. So first, what's your max for inflict wounds at level 2, you said?
30.
30, okay. So you're immediately going to do 60 damage to this guy just from your max, which is over his limit. So you reach out with your sickled hand and punch him, and he just immediately shatters into, you know, thousands of golden shards.
Fantastic. As a bonus action, I'm gonna move. I need to get far away from everything. This guy's dead. There's only one guy left, I'm just gonna move as far away from him as I can.
Are you still gonna do the same idea now and keep going up that northern tunnel to look around the corner, or?
No, okay. I'm gonna position myself at that door, but I'm not moving out of it.
So the enemy, seeing you can't reach Vasa, who's flying around in the ceiling, started walking over to attack Gnomus. But then he got hit in the back of the head by this bow staff, which upset him. And then when you recalled the bow staff, he was like, oh, he's over there. So he starts walking towards where this statue is that you're hiding behind. He's thinking you're just putting something between you guys, but he's going to just mess you up anyways. But now you're going to try to push this statue on top of him.
Yep.
So go ahead and give me a strength a strength check as you push the statue. A reminder, you have advantage on strength checks when you're raging.
26.
Okay. He got a 10 on his dex save to get out of the way. So he gets hit by this statue. And I'm going to say it pins him down. So you'll have advantage when you attack him. And he currently can't attack you right now because when he got pushed down, he lost his weapons.
Okay.
So he's stunned, quote unquote, for a turn. Now it's your turn, though.
Okay.
That was your readied action.
All right. Yeah, he's going to attack wherever he can.
Okay, sounds good.
I guess advantage. I guess his head sticking out or something. Jeez. 14.
14 misses. You hit the statue by accident.
Okay. I'm going to go again. 23.
23 hits.
16 damage.
All right.
I'm going to do a perception check and listen, look down the hallway. Do I feel like more people are coming?
What's your perception?
11.
You are unsure. There's too much sounds of battle going on behind you that you can't tell what's an echo versus what might be new.
All right, I'm going to walk half the distance down the hallway.
Okay.
Is there like a turn in the hall?
There is a turn at the end of the hall.
All right, I'm going to walk to the turn in the hall and I'm going to like give it a look and see what I got.
You look down the hallway, you just see a long, dark hallway, but there is light coming through on the right-hand side where you would know that just from the layout of the room, you would know that that is another observation room looking into that lava pit, with the golden shards.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to head back in.
Okay. Enemy is currently stunned, so I'm skipping his turn.
I think this would just probably run over and try to stab this guy in the light face.
Sounds good. You have advantage.
I do it with my rapier.
Give yourself a little bit of distance still.
23.
23 hits.
That's 7 damage with a rapier.
Okay. You would also get your sneak attack still.
Yeah.
Vaso's within 5 feet.
4, 8 more damage.
I guess you also had advantage, so you always get sneak attack anyways. I'm going to say, just for the sake of finishing this combat, because I don't think he's... I'll do one attack, just like a punch on Vaso to see if he gets a punch in. A 9, I think he would miss. But I think at this point he's pinned, doesn't have any weapons. I think you guys will be able to finish him off, the two of you. So we are out of combat.
Yay.
Hey guys, it's Sam. Oh, we are almost done wrapping up season 4 and the entire storyline. We are so excited and thankful that you guys have been on this journey with us. We want to do a bit of a mailbag. If you have questions about the storyline, the world, the podcast, us as players, we would love to answer those for you as a little season finale. Regardless of where you are in the story, if you're starting with season 1 or if you're right with us at season 4, go ahead and send in your questions either on Instagram at @CarriageRestTalesD&D or shoot us an email at podcast@carriagerestales.com. As always, give us a 5-star review if you haven't done that yet on your favorite podcast platform. Share our podcast with a friend. We are so grateful for all of you as listeners. We cannot thank you enough. We are so excited that you've been on this journey with us, and we can't wait to wrap this story up. I hope you guys enjoy it. The hallway looks clear, but I'm going to be honest, I'm not doing so well, guys.
I'm going to tell you all to huddle around me. And then as lightly as I can play my flute, I'm going to do my mass cure wounds.
Yes. 3d8 plus spellcasting modifier.
Yeah, so we each roll a d8. I think that's fair.
Everyone roll one of the 3d8s.
I got an 8.
I got a 1.
I got 6.
8, 6, 14, 15 back, plus your, what's your modifier?
7, so each get 22.
22 hit points back, that's pretty good.
All right, so I feel like we're in this.
I don't know what we're going to do. Like, those guards almost took us out, and we're going to fight Benson? Like, we need a better plan.
We don't know if Benson's here.
What is the plan?
I thought the plan was to figure out where all these light shards are coming from and, right? Try to figure out.
Okay. Well, like, there they are. They're all we can see them coming in through something, right?
Yeah. So let's describe this room that you're looking into. So
are we down this hallway now?
You can go down the hall if you want to get a different view. At this point, you can walk between the two observation windows.
Okay.
And what you can make out is a large room about the size of a basketball stadium, like an arena. And in the center of it, the basketball floor is a giant pool of lava with just an ungodly amount of golden shards floating and swirling around inside of it. On the outsides of that pool, there are four statues. And as you're looking at the statues from different angles, you're starting to realize that they have a faint glow to them. And then in the far side of the first observation window, you see that on the ground floor, there's like an archway. And there's also a slight glow above that archway. But that's where the lava is flowing in. And every once in a while, you'll see another golden shard flow in on that river into that big pool.
These statues, do they look like the pillars in the different cities?
I would say they're probably that size. But from that distance, they don't look like the various races.
Okay.
They look more like, I guess they'd look more like the pillar at Black Bay Harbor. So more resemblance of the harbinger of creation.
So these light shards, they're coming in through lava.
Correct. They're floating on lava.
How many light shards do we see? Like if we watch it for a minute, how many light shards would we see?
It is sporadic. So sometimes it'd be a couple of minutes between shards, and then like maybe a pool of five shards will come through.
And the shards are coming in because people are dying in Ivana, and they're bringing the shards to the statues, and the statues are sucking them in, right?
That is what you guys have been kind of piecing together.
Okay.
Is there a large collection of light shards somewhere?
Yeah, in the bottom of the pool.
Yeah, that's in the... I could draw it out.
Probably. Like the floor is like a big swirling pool of light shards that are all just collecting.
Are they actually sitting on the floor or are they floating?
They're floating in a pool of lava. So using my basketball arena picture again. Basketball arena. So you're sitting in the stands. That's like the rock walls. Like you're observing from like a suite, we'll say. The actual floor itself, like where the basketball players would play, that's like a big pool of lava. With the golden shards kind of flowing around in it. All the other floor space, like where the players would sit or the press would be, that would be like the shore of that pool of lava, and that's where the statues are. And then the hallway that the players would like run down to get into the gymnasium, that's like your river of lava.
Okay. So here's what I was thinking. Our main objective was to try to figure out a way to get rid of some of these gold shards because we know that they'll use them against us. So I was trying to figure out if there's a way to open a rift where these light shards go into Ivana instead of staying here.
I love this idea. Do we know what's on the other side of where we are in Ivana? Of this volcano?
In Dorma.
In Dorma?
We know the volcano has been like cleaved, right?
Yeah. The volcano on the Dorma side erupted. So it's kind of like, so it's like the top half of that mountain's completely missing. Whereas on the Ivana side, something you guys are now putting together as the Harbinger creation has been keeping that eruption from happening. So he can use the space to pool his light shards.
We need to destroy those statues.
I think we also need to destroy the statues. I think the statues are helping pull everything in.
Yeah, so if we can somehow get down there, even open a rift. Because I know we can't open a rift big enough for the Colossal to come through. Or even big enough for his hand to come through.
Well, we can't, but collectively we might be able, a bunch of us might be able to.
But I think if we can sabotage his light shard collecting, I think that would be a successful mission.
Based on the amount of light shards that we see in this pool, do we feel like us just stopping the flow is really going to do any impactful amount of damage? Because if there are already hundreds of thousands of shards swirling in this pool, stopping it...
That's what I was trying to think. If we
stop the flow, though, long term, it'll
I don't know how much long term we have, but if we can somehow get rid of this collection of light shards somehow. I mean, the only way I can think of is try to open a rift or even push him in there.
Can I can open a rift somewhere in the future, right? Doesn't it be right next to me? Yeah, we have how far away of a rift can I open?
I think we set the limit to 30 feet.
All right, can I get close enough to 30 feet to this safely to this lava and to this lava flowing?
Where you guys are at right now, you're still up in those little observation rooms. Mm-hmm. If you want to try to get down to the lava, you're going to have to continue down that corridor that you just looked down.
Mm-hmm.
So let's finish this picture map. You guys came in and then saw the altar room. You went to the left where you saw those bedrooms, and that brought you around the right to where you had your view of Black Bay Harbor and then your first observation room. You just went up that north hallway and to the right where you saw another observation window, but that really was just an observation window. At the end of that hallway, though, there's a staircase, kind of like a long, slow spiral staircase. So it's going to eventually make a 90-degree turn, but over the course of, 90 feet or so. And you can tell by that slope that that staircase is going to lead you to that archway that you were seeing from the observation decks. So you could get to down there if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But as you are walking down this staircase, you see that there are two guards standing outside of that archway. And that's all you can see from your angle. I'm not going to give you more details because I don't know if you guys are going to walk down there or not. That's what you would see from trying to scout out a little bit.
Okay.
The observation window, is it glass or could someone fly in there?
It is glass. You guys haven't tried to break it or anything like that yet, so
we break it. We're gonna call the attention of those guards, and if they're anything like the four guards we just fought, we'd have to make a. Here's the thing, too: if we open a rift, somebody sees it, they're gonna close it. Like a rift's not permanent. Anyone can stitch a rift. Anyone in the Night Circle are gonna be able to stitch a rift.
We could if we really wanted to get down there. You have a silence spell, right?
I do.
You could cast silence around the window, and I can cast my shatter spell to completely decimate this window without it making a sound. And then maybe we can shimmy down there.
Okay, but once we get down there, like, let's just think this through. Like, once we get down there, what is the plan? We could open a rift, and we could... But they're going to, eventually someone's going to see it and they're going to close the rift. Like, these guards are light shards, right? Or, light warriors?
Yeah, they are light warriors, yep.
We don't know if they can open or close.
We do not know anything about them, really.
I'm just wondering if, knowing what we know, if we shouldn't, in the state we are all in, if we shouldn't, leave, go somewhere safe, do a short rest, and try to go fell the pillar in Black Bay Harbor.
Well, the pillar in Black Bay Harbor is surrounded by the Order of Light, and Benson's there.
How big are those statues?
The statues you would put together are probably about 15 feet tall.
Could Vaso knock one over?
If you could get to him, yes.
I'll knock the statues over.
But we still got to get down there.
Yeah.
And what do we think that's going to do? You think it's going to stop the magic?
Well, I'll knock them into the pool of lava.
You said the statues are glowing?
Statues have a slight glow to them, you can see, now that you've got time to observe and look at things.
Can we do...
And I also said you see a slight glow over that archway that the shards were kind of flowing into.
Coming here was to sabotage some of the light shards.
Yep. No, that's a...
Our elemental craft crashed. Our only way of really getting out of here is Amelia coming to pick us up, which it's probably daylight, so I don't know.
Well, he can fly, I can fly, and I think I can carry you.
Swell.
Just dangling over the cliff face as you're...
It's fine. Hang on.
I'm just trying to think of, like, exit strategy.
As you're bleeding everywhere.
No, I can...
You're trying to think of an expedient exit.
I mean, I can always transport us to one of my temples. And we always have an exit strategy if the two of you can be within... If I can touch the two of you, we always have an exit strategy. It might put us a week away from where we need to be, but it'll save our lives. Can I, like, take a just beat and, like... Can I try to connect with my goddesses and see if they are pulling me in either direction? Like, if they have Lucha had really strong feelings about killing Vaso and felling the pillars and all the things. So can I, like, kind of see if I can call to them and see if
they can give you a direction?
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll a religion check. Get advantage.
6.
I would say as you are trying to connect with your gods, Lucha really wants to destroy everything in this place.
Okay.
That is the strong pull that Lucha has.
Mm-hmm.
Sol Pelor is very terrified of this place since this is where she had died.
All right, let's knock the statues down. I'm having this overwhelming sense from Lucha to just destroy this place. And to be honest, I'm feeling it.
Okay. Do you want to use our silence shatter combo to knock out this window?
So if we do that, we shatter, and then do we feel like we can get down the cliff face or? Oh, you can fly.
Both of you can technically fly.
And you can carry Vas or Gnomus.
Yeah.
Just don't drop me in the lava.
Yeah. Let's not drop you in the lava. Yeah. I mean, let's do it. Hey, before we start on this adventure, we have to short rest after this.
Okay.
Sure. Easy.
Need a break.
We just had a long rest.
Yep. And I was trying to very adamantly tell you guys, you should take the long rest.
I know, but I feel like I'm already out of spell slots.
I know. There was a reason I wanted you guys to take a long rest.
I know. Okay.
So she's casting...
I cast silence.
Silence over the
cast
window.
Silence on the window.
Actually, do we feel like we need a spell, or do you think big metal bow staff can just to preserve?
I would say you should try the bow staff first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swing away.
Hit that thing.
All right. You swing away and you see glass shatter. You don't hear it though because of the silence spell. But I need Vaso and I guess all three because you're right next to it. Go ahead and roll perception checks.
18.
8.
19.
All right, I'm going to say with your 18 and your 19, 8, you, Vasa, didn't really notice anything because you were having fun smashing glass up. When the glass smashes, Vasa's bow staff rebounds off of something, kind of in the middle of the air. And when that rebound happens, you see that there's this force field shimmer. Think of like a light blue shimmer goes through. Woods, you noticed that when Vaso hit that, you saw the same shimmer over the archway. So those must be connected somehow. Gnomus, you noticed that the statues didn't change at all. So putting it together, you might be putting together that there are actually two different force fields that are in this room. One to keep people out of it, but that's not necessarily the same magic as what's impacting the statues.
Can I take my Lucha bow and like try to poke it through the open space?
Yep. What? The same thing as you try to poke it through, you meet resistance. And as you push harder, you start seeing like a bluish glow radiating from it as a force field. So something is preventing you magically from entering this room.
I wonder if we opened a rift, went on the other side, moved to where we thought it would be and opened a rift, if that force field would be there.
I mean, I can use phase rounds.
Yeah. Why are you phasing? Yeah.
I'll use a phase round.
Okay.
To try to get into the center.
But, like, not fall into the lava. Like, we're going to make that really clear. Everything we're doing is mindful not to fall into
the
lava.
So, hold on. So, on the Avana or the
Dorma side.
Dorma, thank you. Dorma side. This is just a broken, shallow volcano.
Correct.
So you're going to have to phase round into the Dorma side, open a rift, like walk out 5 feet, open a rift, and see.
Well, if I use a phase round, I'm just going to automatically go into Dorma.
I know that. But then you have to open a rift to come back into this side.
Not with a phase round, right?
I know that. But, like, I want you to open a rift to see if you could just stick your hand in or if that force field is everywhere in the room or is it just on the outer perimeter? Like, this is what I'm thinking. Like, the room itself has, like, a perimeter. So we can't get in because there's magic.
Right.
But if we were in the middle of the room and we opened a rift, is that perimeter there or is it just literally around the outside? Is this making sense? Because in my mind, it makes so much sense.
Not really.
Does it make sense to you?
It does, but I'm not helping.
Okay. So.
I'm going to hand you a phase round.
I've never used a phase round, have I?
I don't think you have, but he'd be able to describe how to use it.
Okay, I'll just do it.
Perfect.
Yeah. So I phase into Dorma.
Okay, you phase into Dorma, you find yourself sitting or standing on the ruins of a building,
okay.
Which you would recognize as, okay, this is the ruins of this complex, because Dorma is always ruins.
I am going to kind of mark on the ground where I am.
Okay.
And I am going to walk 10 feet
okay.
forward, which if in Nirvana... It would be on the other side of this glass window.
Yep. Makes sense.
Open a small...
You have to climb down a little bit, but that's fine.
It. I'm going
to
open a small rift. You know, just one hit point rift.
Yep.
Can I put my hand through it? Can I put my stat... Is the same energy blocking?
As you try to put your hand out or the staff or whatever spear, whatever you're using, you meet that same force.
Okay.
Like you're not able to... penetrate into that room.
Was anything coming out of it?
Nope.
Okay. All right. I'm going to close the rift back up, and I'm going to phase round back.
I will say that you probably saw the remnants of 4 destroyed statues.
Oh. Yeah. Let's pause. Can I look around?
Yeah.
I'm going to look around.
You would see it. You wouldn't see any, like, golden shards mm-hmm. or anything, or any shards really in the middle. Because as we know, Dorma, nothing was containing the dark shards. But you would see kind of the same bowl with 4 broken statues. And in the middle, where you would know was those golden shards floating around, there is a little island out in the middle.
I'm going to kind of go to the island.
Sure. I mean, you have to get over some lava, but you can fly. So.
Yeah, I'll fly. I'm going to fly over and kind of... get onto the island.
Okay. So you would know that nothing really is special on this side of it.
I'm going to open another rift.
Okay.
Because this would be directly where that swirling ball of light is.
Correct.
I'm going to open a rift. What happens?
Same thing. You try to reach your hand in and you kind of try to reach your hand in and you get repelled by a force. You can't get back into Ivana from this side.
Can I stick my lucha bow in?
You cannot.
Okay. So we have to figure out how to turn that spell off.
Correct.
All right. I'm going to climb back up to where my ex was on the ground. I am going to walk about 10 feet in the other direction just to make sure and phase around again.
Okay. And then you're back in the observation room with your friends.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of explain everything to you. So the spell is completely encapsulating the entire arena. So we have to figure out how to shut that spell off. But the same setup... is in Dorma with the statues and the island and the lava and like all of the things. I think there's something up with that archway. That like pulsing light above the archway. I think maybe that's something.
So your relic bow didn't do anything.
Correct. All the relics they were trying to use or anything physical, even magical, as you try to like shoot things through this force field, they all get ricocheted.
Okay. So we got this force field thing in the middle. Our only other way we think we can get into this room is through the guards that are blocking the door.
Yeah, there's an archway that you know, that northern hallway, its staircase circles down to the front of the archway. But when you were when Nomis had went down to scattered out, you had saw that there are two guards standing post right outside that archway.
So do we know where at the beginning here, where we get into the altar room, if we were to go right instead of left, do we know where that leads?
You have not explored that area yet.
Other option, I can go invisible and try to lure the two guards in the other direction while you try to go into the door.
Do we feel like that force field's going to just not be around the door?
They're guarding it for a reason.
I guess that is true. Can you... Okay, I'm going to try that.
All right, so you're going to go invisible?
I'm going to throw my hood up. Okay. And then grab an item and use that to go invisible.
All right, I like it. So you guys see Vimus turn invisible. Go ahead and roll a stealth check at advantage.
Natural 20.
Okay.
Yes.
He silently moves off, and you guys are like, "Did he leave yet?
Have we? Like, yeah. Have we seen this before? Really?
You've seen him turn invisible with a spell, so I assume you would think he's using the spell.
Okay.
Would be my guess.
So before I go down the hallway, though, I want to see if I can go through the force field.
I like that.
With this thing,
you still would meet a resistance.
Okay. I don't know if I was that special.
No, all right. Good.
Okay, so I'm going to go down the hall, past the observation deck.
Down the stairs.
Down the stairs.
As you are walking down the stairs, you see that there are two of those big gladiator guards standing post outside of the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
Other things you would see is you'd see that lava... hit or that lava river is going off to your left as you're looking further into the mountain. You would see running parallel to that lava river is a walkway that eventually goes up to some stairs, and then the stairs just keep ascending out of view, and you would see that lava river, maybe 40 feet down that river, is a lava fall, like a waterfall of lava. And you would see the same, like every once in a while, a shard would be falling down that waterfall. You start getting closer to the guards, feeling really confident. They're not hearing you. But then you hear a very loud explosion coming from directly across the hallway. There's another hallway that went back. And you would picture that would have led you back to the altar room. If you guys would have taken a right.
Okay.
So basically, you hear an explosion from that area you guys didn't explore. And you hear a, oh, it was Damien. Then you see a hooded mage that I don't think you would recognize, but you might have. It was Abba Kaba, and he was the head mage for the Order of Light. I don't know if you guys... interact with him at all or not. So I don't think we ever got to that NPC. So you would see a high ranking Order of Light member start running towards that walkway that's going up towards the lava fall. Before he can get there, though, the two guards that were guarding the post, when that explosion happened, obviously wanted to inspect and see what's happening with that explosion. And when they see this mage, hear the click. Click.
And I'm making sure I'm definitely out of the way, like hugging a wall or something.
You hear the mage go, ugh, Roktach. And then the guards relax and then walk back to their post. Roktach. And then he, unless you're going to do anything, he flees up the staircase where the lava fall is at.
I mean, I feel like I'm pretty invisible. Can I easily trace him? Like, follow him?
Yeah, you can easily follow him. It's going to be longer than you were anticipating your scouting would be, but I don't mind you doing it.
I don't know how long this... I don't think there's a limit to this.
I don't think we had a limit to it either.
Yeah, so I know where they are. I think I learned some valuable intel with Rokta, and then I'm going to follow this mage up the stairs.
You follow the mage up the stairs, and it's winding and winding and winding and winding. And then, so basically you're going up like a vertical lava chute. You get to the top of a platform, and you hear the mage talking with a voice that sounds very familiar to you. And as you peek over the corner, you see this high-ranking Order of Light mage talking to Benson, who has a very pristine outfit on, and he's just completely armored out and decked out. They are standing on a platform that has 14 different archways. Three of the archways are dark and broken, but inside each of the other archways, you see different scenes of the cities of Ivana. So you see the city of Kostrum, you see Amberton. Anyways, you'd see all the various cities.
So I can take it that the three dark ones are the ones where the pillars fell.
Yep. So you would take that Carhang, Trin, and Amberton are the dark pillars that have kind of crumbled. But you would see that there are two large, like, stone golems that are piecing back together one of the broken pillars or one of the broken archways. And that seems to be where the mage and Benson are kind of talking because they're overseeing this work that's happening here.
Okay. Are they saying anything that's piquing my interest, or?
You're going to have to get a little bit closer if you want to hear, like, specific words. You just tell at this point that they're talking to each other.
Yeah, I think I would get 10, 15 feet closer.
Okay. As you get closer, you're going to pick up that Abba Kaba has just learned that the traitor they've suspected in the order is Damien. He seems to have created that weakness in the new pillars.
Which Nomis already knew.
Which Nomis already knew.
Through Corgan.
Through Corgan. Because the professor would have told them.
And they're one being, and I guess they didn't know that. That the professor and Damien
are the
have
same.
Merged.
Yeah, yeah, they don't know. The Order of Light doesn't know that.
Yes.
They just, you pick up that they've suspected there is a traitor amongst their ranks, and they've just discovered that it is Damien.
Okay, so they're talking about the traitor is Damien that's sabotaging the pillars.
Yes.
Okay.
So you hear that Abba Kaba is going to go inform the Harbinger. And he asks how much time until it's ready. Yes, Benson that. Benson says, it should be hours at this point. They should have been at Carhang for some time now. I'm sure they'll have the new pillar established.
Oh, this game is so hard.
As this story pulls on your soul, in the end, we hope it is full.
Hey guys, it's Mike, your host and Dungeon Master at Carriage Rest Tales. I just want to say thanks for taking the time to listen to our podcast. It really means a lot to us. If you are enjoying the content and you haven't already, please give us a 5-star review. It's really going to help us grow our listenership and be able to reach more people. I also want to give a special thanks to Tabletop Audio for providing the background music for today's episode.